Hi, and welcome to Positive Spirit, where we help you find and live your best life. My name is Coach Red, and I'll be your host today, as always. You can find me at CoachRed.com, literally the word coach, R-E-D-D.com. And you can definitely find one of our fantastic Coaching by Zen coaches at CoachingByZen.com. So the word coaching, by, B-Y, Zen, ZebraEchoNovember.com. We always have people ready to work with you, to partner with you in your personal development. And obviously, we've got some fantastic coaches with fantastic personal disciplines. So anything from career coaching to life coaching, relationship coaching, spiritual coaching, nutrition coaching, we've got it all. So I definitely encourage you to go to CoachingByZen.com and get to know some of our coaches to partner with you in your personal development. Our goal is to change the world one life at a time. My question is always, why not start with yours? And what's cool about what we're trying to do here is that the folks that I have on the team are people that are actually dedicated to this mission that we have, this changing the world one life at a time. These are folks who are dedicated to your personal development. Take it very personal, and most importantly, don't use a cookie cutter approach on how to get you to that place. They walk with you through the journey, and even though they may be the ones to help you do that self-discovery and provide you tools to go on, they take a vested interest in terms of how that ends up. The responsibility always in a coaching client relationship is on the client, but our coaches just take a fantastic view in terms of what their role is in terms of this accountability. So again, CoachingByZen.com, the word coaching, B-Y, Zen.com. So let's talk a little bit about why we're here today. For those of you that have been around, and kind of to explain it to the folks who may be new joining this podcast, everything that we do here is based upon a philosophy called Leadership Zen. This is something that I've been writing for about 17 years. I never get the dates right. I should just say 20 years. Where it started as a very business leadership management philosophy, born out of a culture where our objectives, our yearly objectives, were often based in part on training and literally taking a class, reading a book, so on and so forth. But it really lacked the idea of figuring out whether it created any additional proficiency. And while I was going through that particular piece of my life, I started to develop a philosophy that said, well, if it doesn't produce tangible change, then what's the point of doing it? And that's where Leadership Zen came from. It is based on six commitments, which are authenticity, which is what I talked about last week, curiosity, which we're going to talk about this week, vision, passion, courage, and humility. Now, why are these important? Well, they're important because, again, these are foundational, they are enabling, and to some degree, they're what I call capstones, and that's probably something from my academic life. I don't know why I actually named it that, but the idea is that if we get the first ones right, we build a foundation upon which we can enable peak performance. And for me, that foundation is authenticity, but it's followed very closely with curiosity. So what do I mean by curiosity? Curiosity for me is, think of a child. They come into this world. They don't look at a tree and say that it's a tree. They look at a tree and wonder what it is. And it just kind of becomes part of their world. And yeah, so part of it is they develop language, they do this, but they don't label anything. And as adults, we have a tendency to label everything. So the difference is that as adults, we tend to walk into this situation, into this meeting room, into our relationships, into just about everything with some sort of a bias that's created by the beliefs that have been instilled in us throughout our lives. But kids don't do that. Kids look at the world with a sense of wonder, and I often liken it to being a fish in water, because at the end of the day, a fish doesn't know it's in water, it just is. And the way that I approach life is that life just is. So for me personally, and I did have to work towards this. I wasn't, you know, I actually was born this way, but like everybody else, as you go through life, I lost it. But I now look at life without judgment. I look at life as though it just is. And for me, that's kind of important because anybody that's either listened to previous podcasts or read my blogs knows that I'm actually living with stage 4 cancer. And one of the reasons I can maintain my positivity, which is the obviously overarching thread of this podcast, is because I think life just is. There's nothing that I can do to change how I got here. There's plenty I can do in terms of how I live today, which hopefully affects tomorrow, but I can't predict tomorrow. So life just is. And for me, that means that I also approach life without judgment. And being able to approach life with judgment means that I don't label things and I don't assume that things are not possible. As a matter of fact, the entire commitment of curiosity really breeds this idea of possibility. And even though I overuse it, the example that I always come up with is this idea that 25 years ago, people didn't believe there were other planets out there. Yeah, there were some people that believed it, but pretty much we were solar-centric. We believed that everything that was occurred within our own solar system. Stars, yes. Planets, no. But today, we find planets all the time. If I think about the great author Malcolm Gladwell, there's a book he came out with called The Black Swan, and the best way he describes it is nobody thought there was such a thing as a black swan until they found one. I don't remember if they found it in Australia or whatever, but they found one. And what that taught me and what that continues to teach me and what I try to work with my clients on is this idea that when we put ourselves into this box, because this is how I learned it, this is the way that it is, this is the way that it always will be, there's two things that we do. Number one, we lose critical thinking. And critical thinking is important whether we're talking about it from a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint, it doesn't matter. The very fact that possibility exists means that all of our beliefs can be challenged. Now, mind you, I'm not sitting back and saying give up on everything that you learned throughout the years. What I'm saying is the ability to challenge the details, maybe, to look and be able to see that maybe the way that I learned it, of what I learned, can be challenged, and maybe I can get a deeper understanding, a deeper appreciation, a deeper awareness of what these things mean. Now, in some cases, we may find out that everything that we learned is wrong and we may change our beliefs. That has happened to me several times in my life, to be honest with you. But again, those beliefs I inherited not necessarily came to myself. But the third piece is that when we lack curiosity and we lack critical thinking, we oftentimes find ourselves unwilling to hear the ideas of others. And to me, that is really, really bad. Because as I tell my clients, my family, anybody who wants to listen, there is no black and white. There is no either or. There is nothing in the world that comes down to one of two solutions, and it has to be one or the other. And great thinkers, great leaders employ curiosity to figure out what are those innovative solutions that answer the questions that face us now. In business, absolutely critical. I have multiple situations where I have watched people lead. And I may have been guilty of it myself. I'm sure I have, because everybody is. And you're approaching similar but unequal problems and apply solutions that you've applied throughout your career. And almost invariably, I have watched people fail because of that. Because quite frankly, the world does move on. And as a business person, if you take a look at the progress of your industry, the sector that you operate in, so on and so forth, I always liken it to the Sears thing. So for 100 years, Sears was the place to go, right? Came out with the first real catalogs. They sold everything from you know, clothes to houses, so on and so forth. And then they became completely irrelevant because they relied on their existing business model instead of recognizing that people's buying habits were completely different. And then came along Amazon, which is now one of the biggest companies in the world, emulated throughout the business world. And Sears is looking at not existing pretty quickly, which nostalgia-wise is pretty disappointing, because I always remember getting the Sears and the JCPenney catalogs and picking out what I wanted for Christmas or my birthday in those catalogs, and those catalogs really don't exist anymore. But the point is that in business, we're losing critical thinking when we're trying to rest on tried and true solutions, particularly those that were tried by other people 20 years ago, and we can't adapt to those new things. Critical thinking allows us not only to look outside of our company, which is absolutely critical, but it allows us to create solutions based upon what I call the synthesis of ideas. If you study how things work and consider the possibility of how they can work, then you can synthesize ideas, come up with things that, you know, involve high risk, low risk, whatever. It all depends upon your risk tolerance, but it moves you off the needle from where you were yesterday. Now, I came from the fast food industry. Worked there for 25 years. A couple years I did some pure retail, but essentially I was there for 25 years. And one of the things that I noted is that you had innovators and then you had followers. And then what you had were what I call bad followers, because not only were they not leaders or innovators, but they were still years behind where everybody else had been. And in some cases, as much as 20 years behind. And when you take a look at the performance of those companies, when things started not working out correctly, a lot of those companies go right back to tried and true. So fast food, things aren't working. We're not driving traffic. We're doing this. Let's go to discounting. Let's go to food by the pound. Let's make sure we can stuff everybody because then it'll come to us. Well, the reality is that's not creative thinking, because number one, it's not creative. Number two, I would argue it's not really thinking, because number three, somebody else can always beat you at that strategy. What works for people is when you change your model and you look and say, okay, well, 20 years ago, this may have been a thing. Maybe even 2 quarters ago, this could have been a thing and it drove things. But you don't really have a competitive advantage because you're not critically thinking. So you're pulling something out of your toolkit that everybody else can pull out too. And that's hard from a business leadership standpoint. The thing is, critical thinking also applies in our personal lives, right? If we're sitting down and we're dealing with our spouses, our partners, our friends, and whatnot, and we automatically go back to our biases and our beliefs and our upbringings and whatnot, you're going to find over time that people are going to start drifting away. That's not always that way, because sometimes people share what you're talking about. And sometimes that quote-unquote inefficiency of thought will manifest itself someplace else. But we're in a room where everybody agrees with this, which I'm going to tell you flat out, it's not good either. Because like I said earlier, there is not one solution to all problems. So that's called sycophant, where we surround ourselves with what I call confirmation bias. It's not just my word, it's an actual word. We like to surround ourselves with people that confirm our own biases. But that doesn't really get you ahead, because creativity, creative thinking, and the ability to craft solutions from multiple disparate inputs is absolutely critical to both business and personal leadership. And I am pretty solid on that from my own life, because I didn't necessarily always do that myself. Okay, so you got to remember that I learned business along the way. I was supposed to be an astronaut, And when I gave up on the whole astronaut thing, I decided that I wanted to be an attorney. And I was, you know, 8 years old or something like that. Studied away from it, but by the time I made it to my early 20s, it was clear that that's not really what I wanted to do. So that's a little nod to that authenticity thing. But I got to a place in my life where I was willing to try business. And admittedly, they lured me because they were sending me all over the world, flying me in, you know, upscale classes and everything like that. And that's hard for somebody in their mid-20s to give up on. I learned plenty because of that. And as I learned it, those are things that I ended up taking to the companies that I went to after that. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But ultimately, when you take a look 20 years later, because again, my career was 20, 25 years, when you take a look at it, some of those things worked, but the other side had to recognize that my previous success was informing my future strategies, even though the industry had changed over that 20 years. Well, that don't get you ahead. And I could argue that even in your relationships, if you keep pulling out the same things from 20 years ago, your relationship is going to have some issues. So curiosity allows us to be able to look at the world a little bit different, make decisions about that world, and then synthesize the inputs in order to come up with new solutions that actually drive things forward. It's absolutely critical. And again, this is why it is the second commitment of Leadership Zen. So the real question is, what exactly is curiosity? Well, when I think of curiosity, it is what I call inherent learning. Okay? It's not learning for the sake of something. It is learning because you have the opportunity to actually learn something. So even if that learning doesn't necessarily apply to what you do, your life, and so on and so forth, it is all about wanting to understand the world around you. And the reason that's important is because if you take a specialty, we'll call it engineering, right? So you're an engineer, I learned mechanical engineering, and I bring everything from my world to mechanical engineering. But the best solutions I might come up with may come from things that have nothing to do with engineering at all. And that's where this synthesis of ideas comes from, is being able to think critically. Again, I'm going to keep talking about that. To be able to think critically to get to a point where you're able to come up with creative solutions. You will be more effective if you are able to do that. And I don't care what field you're in. But it also requires you to walk into situations without judgment. Bias is your enemy. And I don't care what you're biased towards. Bias, by definition, is a box. And when you exist in a box, it's hard to get out of that box. It is actually better to have multiple boxes than it is to have a single box that you can't get out of. But the best place to be is actually not having a box at all. So when I talk to my clients, or I talk to just about anybody, I talk about, it's an old reference from the movie The Matrix. I think it came out in 1999. And they were talking about the idea of belief and the idea of reality. And little kid comes up and they're talking about the spoon. He bends the spoon. And then eventually the comment was, there is no spoon. And that's how I feel about boxes. There is no box. But we create these boxes because of our bias. Boxes are comfortable because they validate what we know. Boxes don't always validate the reality of what happens in the world, and that's when they become barriers to our overall success. And our goal here is to eliminate those barriers and to stop thinking within those belief structures so that we can not only be creative in our thinking, but we can also be more accepting of the fact that other people may have different thoughts. And to me, this is personal. This is critical, because when I look around the world and when I do what I do, which of course is positivity coaching and helping people lead those best lives and whatnot, we're in a pretty interesting place right now where there's a lot of either or. And the either or, if you're on the or side, or maybe it's the either side, I don't know. But we've gotten to a place where if we disagree with people, then we have to disagree with either violent words, violent action, or violent emotions. And none of those are good. None of those are good. And so for me, that is a huge problem where we are. And it's part of why the mission of this podcast and the mission that I embrace for myself is this whole idea of positive thinking. Because I really don't care if you disagree with me. 9 times out of 10, it does not affect my life whatsoever. It's just another idea. But even outside of today's environment, which admittedly is mostly political, and even though I don't delve into politics, I think the idea of voting for a letter is ridiculous, to be honest with you. Because again, there is no solution, no single solution to any problems. And when the problems come up, it requires, let's say it again, creative thinking to solve it. And if our idea is that I've got a platform, I've got this, this is how we do everything, then you're not fixing anything. You are not leading. You are inherently following. And that's part of the reason that I don't talk politics, because if you have 30% of the people, 40% of the people who are going to vote one way, and you're never going to change your mind, and they're never going to look at facts, they're going to look at beliefs. And then you got 40% of the people who believe another thing, and they're not really going to look at facts, they're going to believe. You have this 20% in the middle, and of course I'm making up numbers. You have this 20% in the middle that actually critically think and say, I'm going to cast my vote. I'm going to do what I do based upon what I think the situation is, where I think the solutions are going to come from, and how effective those people are going to do it. That is critical thinking. And that is a level above the idea of just being a partisan. And quite frankly, I'll say it again, that is the reason I don't participate in politics. I don't argue with people. And by the way, I used to. I don't do that anymore because I think it is inane. I think it is completely ridiculous and does not demonstrate critical thinking. And my role, what I pick for myself in terms of what I want to do with the rest of my life, is to help people develop critical thinking. And that comes from the concept of curiosity. So the thing about curiosity is that it's always there. What I try to talk to people about is literally always live in wonder. Okay? So if you take a look at that tree that I mentioned earlier, yeah, it's a tree because we have a word for it. But it's also a whole bunch of other things. It's beautiful. It's sturdy. It provides for us. In, you know, it can provide food, it can provide lumber, it does a whole bunch of things for us. So we can either take all the time that we want to label that, or we can appreciate the beauty and the contribution that it does. And that is the always living in wonder. And the other cool thing about curiosity is that if we actually spend the time to be curious, we might find more beauty in that stuff. And one of the biggest analogies that I always use in my life is that milk does not cost the same in 2020 as it did in 1942. The world marches on. So if we root ourselves in the beliefs that we've had, we're kind of missing the point that the world marches on. And I know in that case, I'm talking about pricing. But really what I'm talking about is the idea that if you have an inability to innovate, an inability to see that milk doesn't cost the same, then you're going to be stuck and you're going to be comfortable. So you might find fulfillment in comfort. My experience is all you're doing is alleviating your fear. And fear by itself is not necessarily a bad thing. It's okay to be afraid, because that then kicks in the critical thinking moment. So I'm taking a look at risk, right? I take a look at risk and say, okay, do I want to take this risk? Well, immediately, my critical thinking and risk management hat comes on. And I say, here's the potential payback. Here's the potential loss. And I make a decision. That is leadership. That is leadership. Because management execution is all about, here's what I'm supposed to do. Here's what I will do. And here's the results. You're lacking innovation. And that doesn't mean that a manager, and I hate titles, that people who are you know, spend 80-90% of their time in the management phase, doesn't mean they don't have critical thinking. But my experience over 25 years is that somebody who's responsible for execution, who introduces critical thinking into their lives, tend to end up at different levels of the company. I can tell you flat out, that's what happened to me. Now, I may have finished my career and wondered why I became a business person in the first place. And again, that's no shade towards people who decide business is their thing. I just had a different calling. But I had some serious success because I was able to develop my critical thinking. And to be honest with you, a lot of that had to do with a coach that I had back in the day. This would have been about 20 years ago as well. I develop that critical thinking, but it's something that as I sit back a little bit later in my life and take a look at the things that I've done, at the end of the day, that's where it came from. It came because I don't look at the world as a finite thing. I look at it, first of all, as infinite, because there's infinite possibilities out there. And again, the example that I always use, or often use, is that of Bobby Kennedy, brother of JFK. And he got shot about 3 weeks before I was born in June of 68. And his brother at his funeral delivered a eulogy, and he said something to the effect, I never quoted properly, but he said something to the effect is that most people look at the world and say, why? So by itself, that sort of a victim complex of saying, well, why is this happening? And he said his brother looked at the world and said, why not? And that, to me, is the definition of positivity. It's looking for opportunities to do things differently, to do them better, and then essentially to have a different outcome. And again, I'm going to personalize this a little bit. I'm living with stage 4 cancer. Just found out about this like 3 months ago. So, you know, still living through some shock here. But at the end of the day, if you ask people how I'm dealing with it, the fundamental answer is positively. And the reason being is because I can't look at the world and say, why do I have cancer? What I can look at is, what do I need to do to make sure that cancer goes away or is controlled? And hope that it has an impact on the future, but I can't plan for that future. But what I can do is I can work with my own innate curiosity. I can talk to my doctors. I can look at alternative therapies, and I cannot give up. And that's one of the biggest strengths I find in curiosity, is the ability that typically there is always something out there that can bring a better result than what you are finding today. This podcast in particular, I'm talking a little bit more about business because it's just more tangible in terms of what we want to do. But honest answer, I've worked for companies in my life that have come up and decided they wanted to solve problems by pulling out 20-year-old solutions that I worked with 20 years ago and thought that they were going to change their world. And because those things were out 20 years ago, it by definition means that those are solutions that somebody else has already adopted. You're not getting your competitive advantage. You get that from curiosity. You get that from critical thinking. You have got to get to a place where you are looking at the world from a position of possibility instead of looking at it from our own internal biases. Now, real quick, where do biases come from? Well, it comes from everything we've ever done. We're given bias by our family, right? So they grew up a certain way. They teach us a certain way. There's your bias. And that bias can be anywhere along the MBSS scale. So the mind, body, soul, spirit, it can be anywhere along there. If we accept that, then we're not allowing ourselves to grow to the potential that we can potentially grow to, right? Bias comes from our experiences. We experience things that work and we experience things that don't. And our bias comes from the idea that if it didn't work, we may never try it again. And if it did work, we may try it too many times. And because the world inherently changes, it may not be the best solution out there. So a good leader and a good critical thinker and somebody who's curious opens up that idea and says, okay, I've got this plan that has worked for me or not worked for me in the past. I will use it or not use it. But someone who's curious and able to critically think will say, what can I take from what I've done? How does it apply in the current situation? And how can I synthesize ideas to come up with a solution that works for everyone? That's what curiosity does for us. But the other thing curiosity does is it has a tendency to inspire. So, again, I'll use the work concept, but it's equally as applicable in your personal life, just harder to explain or to exemplify. If you walk into a room where you've got a problem from a business standpoint and you're looking to find a solution to fix it, if you walk in and you're pulling out your old bag of tricks, you're going to have a bunch of people that are going to be completely comfortable with that because that's within their own box. But if it doesn't change the eventual outcome, you're still stuck in the same place. And now you start to sort of realize, I don't want to call it a credibility gap, but it is a little bit of a trust gap. And this happens in business all the time. I could list these off. Some of them are a little too personal, and I'm not going to go there. But at the end of the day, you find people all the time that want to rest on what I've done yesterday. And those are companies that typically don't succeed for the long haul. But most importantly is that your leadership signature is based upon your ability to come up with creative solutions that actually solve problems. And it's good not only because you potentially come up with a solution, but you're teaching the people around you as well, which is always a great thing because people always want to learn. You make them better leaders because of your ability to be curious, to bring about creative thinking, and to bring about different results. That's exciting to people. That's inspiring to people. And from my perspective, it's something that's absolutely critical that we all bring to the table. And again, I'm talking about it primarily from a business standpoint because it's an easier example. But I could also tell you that that's something that makes sense in your personal life as well. Think about it if you had your spouse, your partner, your friends, or whatnot, and you did the same thing every single week. That was your social calendar. You did the same thing every week. And you're with that person for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. That's going to get stale somewhere in the midst of that. But a creative thinker may not have all the answers. Somebody who's curious may search out the idea of something else to do. And it gives you the opportunity to be more relevant on a day-to-day basis for the people who make sense in your life. So again, you're going to hear me say this quite a bit, and you probably already have heard me say this quite a bit, but the idea is you want to always remain in wonder. You want to always be in a place where you're able to consider the possibility of what's next, as opposed to likening yourself, likening your world, likening your path, likening your solutions to what you've always done. Because eventually that will catch up with you. So to close this today, I will say that curiosity holds the story of the past, the wonder of the present, and the fuel of the future. And again, think about being a child. Think about when you're born and looking at the world with that sense of wonder. Exist without judgment. And I'm really big on judgment, meaning don't do it. We don't like to be judged because people don't understand our motives. They don't understand what's going in our head. But typically when we look at somebody else, we have a tendency to ascribe motive and we have no idea what that is. So don't do the judgment idea, whether it's of events or of people, because that just promotes negativity in our minds and in our emotions, and that's not good. Generally speaking, to think that the world fits into any kind of a box is counterintuitive. We all have our biases and our beliefs, and those are fine. But someone observing the same set of facts can come to very different conclusions. Even things we consider truths aren't really that cut and dry. I have yet in my 52 years to come up with anything that is either or. I don't think there's anything out there that's either or. And as I mentioned in the last podcast, I have issues with using words like always, never, so on and so forth, because you're assuming that there's no outlier to that. And I have yet to come up with anything in my life that does not have an outlier. So that curiosity allows us to kind of figure out that the world is not black and white, not cut and dry. The ocean looks blue, but it isn't blue. Neither is the sky. The same thing can be said about almost anything in the world. Curiosity, by definition, allows us to look at the world differently and to learn to challenge ourselves to find new solutions to old problems. Now, our beliefs and our internal truths are part of us. It's very hard to give those up, and I'm not saying give them up. Those are not only hardwired, but they're also hard-earned. And again, ultimately, no one can really tell you that they're wrong. And that's why I say there's not a right and a wrong when it comes to beliefs. Because if you can't prove it, then there's always a possibility that it can be right or wrong, if that makes sense. It's very existential viewpoint on things. But, you know, as the world changes, truths change, and good people find ways to adopt and adapt to them. So my thought for the day is be willing to be curious and be willing to accept the conclusions that your senses provide, even if they contradict hard-won beliefs in you. The ability to learn is truly the most important quality that we have. Be curious and be open to learning new perspective, which means always remain in order. Wonder, I'm sorry. Always remain in wonder. Eleanor Roosevelt came up with one of my favorite quotes, which is, "The future belongs to those who believe in the power of their dreams." You cannot come up with vision unless you have dreams. And you cannot come up with dreams if you're locked inside of a box. So open up the box. So as I end this podcast, I always have to give, you know, my little plugs for the things that are important to me. So number one, again, you can always find me at coachred.com, which is the word coach, last name red, R-E-D-D.com. And there you will find my blog, some thoughts about just how I look at the world. Always invited to comment, because what I really like to do is I like to involve you in this community that we're trying to build, in this movement we're trying to build. Talk about it. Let us think about it. Challenge me to come up with a different message. Challenge me to explain what my message is and why it is. I'm good with that. I love it, as a matter of fact, because I do always live in wonder. But I also want to point you out to Coaching by Zen, which is our coaching team, our coaching family, our coaching community. And that's at coaching, the word coaching, by BY Zen, Zebra Echo November.com. Now at that brand, we've got multiple coaches who are experienced in a variety of different disciplines. But I'll tell you what unites all of them is the idea of wanting to advance this mission, which is to touch lives and help people live their better lives. And from my perspective, what's awesome isn't just that commitment, but it's the fact that none of them are sitting back with some sort of cookie cutter approach to say, I don't care who it is, this is how I'm going to help this person get ahead. They listen, they're empathetic, and they're some of the finest people I've ever had the opportunity to work with. So coachingbyzen.com. And what I think is also important as we navigate this, you know, COVID world and potentially the longer term COVID world, it always makes sense for you to find a partner to deal with some of the stresses, the anxiety, so on and so forth, and to map that plan. And you can find out with a friend, you can find out with other people, but I'm saying that the coaches at Coaching by Zen can help you do that, not only by leveraging their expertise to get to a great place, but equally as important to be an accountability partner to make sure that you get there. Now, the last one I'm going to give you, and this one's always important to me, is the Cause Change Foundation. So that's literally hashtag Cause Change Foundation. And that is at the website causingchange.org. And that was important to me because it's a way of giving back. After all the things that I've been able to be blessed with throughout my life, it's a way of giving back. And our mission there is healthy people, healthy planet, healthy partnerships. Real simple, healthy people, health and wellness, definitely fighting cancer. And just for the record, it's not because I have cancer. It's because my mother has been surviving cancer for 14 years, and she's one of the strongest people that I know. And I wanted to recognize her, and I wanted to recognize her mother, Marjorie Adams, who passed from cancer, I think, in 1974. So it's a very important cause for me, for my family, and for our organization. Healthy planet is the willingness and ability to hand off a planet that's at least as good as the one we walked into. And healthy partnerships is bringing companies and organizations, a lot of government organizations, that see this whole either or, that I can either be a good citizen or I can make a profit. Part of my 25 years in business allows me to work with companies to make them willing partners by demonstrating how doing the right thing, and this is, you know, again, my interpretation of right, doing the right thing doesn't have to hurt profitability and it doesn't have to hit shareholders. And if we can change that attitude, then we can truly change the world. So once again, I want to thank you for being part of this podcast. I am Coach Red, coachred.com, and I will talk to you next time. Be well and go be.